Hello, everybody. Today in the Charlie Kirk Show, we have Chad Wolf, and we talk about this porous open border where 50 people were just found dead in a tractor. We also talk about Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein on a very interesting episode here. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school chapter, start a college chapter today at tpusa.com. Come to our Student Action Summit with the biggest speakers in the movement, tpusa.com/SAS. That is tpusa.com/SAS. Action-packed episode. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Don't worry, there's nothing to see here, just kind of a very normal news story. Michael Stenger, the Senate Sergeant-at-Arms responsible for securing the upper chamber of Congress during the January 6 riot, has died at age 71. There has not been an official cause of death released to the public. Following a long career in Secret Service, Stenger was nominated to the position of the Senate Sergeant-at-Arms in 2018. Stenger was criticized following the attack on the nation's capital, with many arguing he should have done more to secure the building from the hordes of oncoming protesters. As the Washington Examiner reports, it took 4 hours for the National Guard to show up, by which time the Capitol had already been breached. Speaking to a Senate committee after the attack, Stenger offered his thoughts on what could have been done better. Quote, there's an opportunity to learn lessons for the events on January 6th. Quote, investigation should be considered as to funding and travel as what appears to be professional agitators. First Amendment rights should always be considered in conjunction with these investigations. Quote, law enforcement coordination in the Capital Region should be reviewed to determine what can be done in a more efficient and productive manner. Intelligence collection and dissemination and training and concepts of the use of force must be consistent. Senate Sergeant-at-Arms in charge of security during Jan 6 riot dead at 71. Nothing to see there. We're going to be joined by Chad Wolf in a second, who will walk us through the current tragedy happening on the U.S. southern border. Let's go to Cut 41, Kamala Harris on inflation. Do you see why they're going to need Gavin Newsom to run in 2024? Because this is the other option. Play Cut 41.
Now, inflation is really high. Are you concerned about a recession? The administration said that they weren't that worried about about inflation, and then that changed.
I think that there can be no higher priority than what we have been clear is our highest priority, which is bringing down the costs and the prices as much as we possibly can. And we will stay focused on that.
Look, I think there could be no higher priority than what we have been clear is our highest priority. Yeah, she's not going to be president anytime soon. She continued when asked about gas prices. Quote, we'll just say this is a very real issue and we have to do something about it. Right. Play Cut 39.
Is there anything else you can do to help bring down the cost of gas?
Yeah, well, first of all, let's just say that this is a very real issue. And we have to do something about it. And it's one of our highest priorities as an administration.
All the while, Joe Biden is in Europe reading off of cards, telling him exactly what to do. But there's a very interesting kind of drip campaign that is continuing by the Democrats and the media. They realize how unpopular Joe Biden is. They realize how compromised Joe Biden is. And while Joe Biden is abroad at the G7, the New York Times says there's real doubts about Joe Biden's capacity to serve a second four-year term. Play Cut 40.
This is an issue on Joe Biden's mind. He is deeply frustrated by what he views as the sort of lack of respect from the press and from also from his fellow Democrats about his intent to run for re-election. He can't figure out why folks won't take yes for an answer. You and I know why that is. It's because he's going to be 81 years old in 2024. He's already the oldest American president, and there's real doubts about his capacity to serve a second four-year term.
So all the plans are in motion right now to try to displace Biden and put somebody else in. This is his approval-disapproval rating. We'll put that on charliekirk.com. A complete inversion, upside down. Approval and disapproval. It has completely reversed. His approval rating is in the low 30s, his disapproval rating in 50 or 60. Now, I'm going to keep on reinforcing this point, which is we have to be clear that it's about the Democrat Party, not about Joe Biden. That we must make this broader than just Joe Biden, because the minute they get rid of Joe Biden, people will say, oh, well, I still support all these policies. No, it's the policies, it's the ideas, it's the tactics, it's the arrogance, it's the smugness. It's about the Democrats more than just Joe Biden himself. Otherwise, just replacing it will be able to do everything. But fix everything, I should say. And you start to see this bubbling up in many of these different stories, especially how the New York Times is covering it. The New York Times has questions. Questions arise of Joe Biden's mental fitness. Here's the front page of the New York Times. Biden bristles at party's doubts over his plan to seek a 2024 bid. Meanwhile, story after story is starting to trial balloon Gavin Newsom. You type in Gavin Newsom in his Google alerts. Gavin Newsom further stirs 2024 speculation with Florida ad buy. Gavin Newsom running ads in Florida. Newsom for governor California 2022 has placed ad spending on Fox News in Florida cable zones for July 4th. He purchased $100,000 of cable TV ads that will run on Fox News in Florida. We're not sure what the content of the ads actually will be. They say stay tuned. Meanwhile, Gavin Newsom is on Truth Social. He said before he has sub-zero interest in running for president, which is a lie. And then reportedly air ads in a state 2,700 miles away from his own. So Gavin Newsom obviously is being pushed by that entire group of California leaders to try to run for president in 2024. As you just see the entire Biden White House crumble from within. Meanwhile, the New York Post reports that Biden is grumpy. Yeah, so are we, actually. The New York Post says, Joe Biden is grumpy these days, a White House insider shared with Newsmax. The high-level Democrat who has known Biden for years said the president spends most of his White House meetings complaining about his low approval ratings, bad press, and the fact he's not getting credit for what's going right. Biden is said to be so cranky about the Ukraine matter that he's moved almost all federal oversight of the Russian war from his young national security advisor, Jake Sullivan, to the chief of staff, Ron Klain. This is the same thing that happened with Afghanistan when Joe and Klain decided to control the flow, looped out of state, the Pentagon, and even Jake. So what does this mean for the upcoming midterms? Well, as the midterms continue to pop up and we have primaries across the country literally today, it's important to note and recognize and realize that the Democrats know what is going to happen coming into November. They know it at a fundamental and a very intimate level. And they're willing to take it on the chin as well as Joe Biden is displaced. And that means a year from today, I do not believe that Joe Biden will be declared for president. I think he'll still be president. I think Joe Biden will finish off his term. But the numbers are just irreversible. He's showing zero signs of life, period, whatsoever. Any sort of core base and constituency has been completely and totally obliterated. Even his own base that is supposed to be loyal to him has fallen apart. The New York Times writes, earlier this month, when Senator Bernie Sanders said he would not challenge Biden in 2024, Biden was so relieved he invited the former rival to a dinner at the White House the next night. Biden had been eager for signs of loyalty, and they have been few and far between. Facing intensifying skepticism about his capacity to run for re-election when he'll be nearly 82, the president and his top aides have been stung by the questions and his plans, irritated at what they see as a lack of respect for their party. Biden just isn't intending to run, his aides argue, but he's laying the groundwork to building resource to the Democrat National Committee. Sure. Hillary Clinton can rescue Democrats in the midterms, Juan Williams writes. Democrats need a strong voice ready to fight to restore women's rights. Now that the Supreme Court has struck down Roe v. Wade, and there's only one voice, Hillary Clinton, writes Juan Williams for TheHill.com. Makes you think kind of how this all connects together. But there's definitely something deeper below the surface, subterranean, that is happening. We're going to keep our eye on it. We're blessed to live in the greatest nation ever to exist in the history of the world. Luke 12:48 says, quote, "To whom much has been given, much will be required." We as Christians can shape our world. One of these ways is how we steward our finances and our money. If you have money and stocks, you have the power to affect change through your investments. Jesus spoke about money in roughly 15% of his teachings and 11 out of 39 of his parables. How do we follow his teachings about money? Well, my friends at Pax Financial can help. I've opened an account with them. I think very highly of them. They are fiduciaries that will make sure you have a responsible plan to retire. I trust them with my money, and I hope you will as well. But look, they will also help you invest in companies that align with your beliefs. No companies that engage in pornography or in excessive drinking or in a degenerate lifestyle. If you have $150,000 to invest, please text my name, Charlie, to the number 74868. And even if you don't have $150,000, maybe they'll make an exception for you. I don't know, but just learn more about them. Look, text Charlie to 74868. Take advantage of the power to make a difference with your money. Pax Financial. It was great for me. I think it will be terrific for you. Our military is one of our great successes as a nation. Strongest military ever to exist in the history of the world. NBC News. Every branch of the military is struggling to make its 2022 recruiting goals, officials say. With record low number of Americans eligible to serve, and few of those willing to do it, it's, quote, "Is this the year? The question of sustainability of the all-volunteer force." I wonder why. These people. It's an intentional destruction of the U.S. military. That's what they've been doing. Every branch of the U.S. military is struggling to meet its fiscal year 2022 recruiting goals. The officials said the Pentagon top leaders are now scrambling for ways to find new recruits to fill out the ranks of the all-volunteer force. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin and Deputy Secretary Kathleen Hicks consider the shortfall a serious issue. Yeah, maybe you should have thought of that before you wanted to mandate an experimental gene therapy and kick out active duty personnel, which Republicans did nothing to oppose. "This is a start of a long drought for military recruiting," said retired General Thomas Spohr of the Heritage Foundation. He said the military has had not such a hard time signing recruits since 1973. Quote, "2022 is the year we question the sustainability of the all-volunteer force." Now, the NBC News article continues, and they say, oh, it's because of the psychological trauma. Quote, "They think they're going to be physically or emotionally broken after serving." That's not why. I'll tell you why it's happening. Two things. They don't want to take a vaccine against their will, and they don't want to serve under this, put that on screen, Rachel Levine and the new LGBTQIA plus regime in our military. And also, people want to enlist in a military that plays to win. Afghanistan was a humiliation from Lloyd Austin and Mark Milley. They don't want to be lectured by Mark Milley about white rage within the military. And by the way, where do you think most of the people in America who serve in our military, a point I have made repeatedly, and I don't hear other people in the conservative media that say this at all, which is the states that Washington, D.C. hates the most, the ones that they talk down to the most, are the ones that actually fill up your military. So, for example, when Wanda Sykes comes out, who apparently is this comedian who I don't find to be funny, cut 52, she says, oh, those middle states, the red stuff, hey, guess what, Wanda Sykes? 65% of our military is composed from people from South Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky, Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas, Louisiana. So don't be surprised all of a sudden when the white people who you hate, the flyover people who you hate, and the red stuff people who you hate say, you know what, I'm actually not going to go serve in the military that has gay pride flags everywhere and makes me take an experimental gene vaccine. Not going to happen. Play cut 52.
The country, it's no longer a democracy, right? I mean, it's no longer majority rule. The problem is that middle stuff. It's those states in the middle, that red stuff. Mm-hmm. Why do they get to tell us what to do when the majority of us live out, you know, New York, California, and we're paying for all this crap, really. I mean, right?
Yeah, we're paying for it. No, you're not actually Wanda Sykes or whatever your name is. Because Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, South Carolina, Kentucky, and Tennessee, they've paid for it disproportionately in blood. Yeah, you might make more money in California. You might have more financial institutions. But disproportionately, the American military is comprised of men and women from the American South. And when all of a sudden you start to turn the entire country into an open-air LGBTQ experiment, NASCAR has been conquered by the Alphabet Mafia. And then you push an experimental gene therapy, the vaccine, to kick out the most alpha male members of the military that don't want to take orders from some ridiculous measure. They're like, actually, no, I do believe in bodily autonomy. And then you get chirped at about my body, my choice. Don't be surprised that we have the lowest recruitment numbers of the military since Vietnam. That's what's happening. This is an intentional, designed, deliberate, coordinated agenda to destroy the United States military. But don't worry. Your Republicans, they sent $53 billion to Ukraine. When's the last time a Republican mentioned any of this stuff? It's hilarious. They're willing to go, like Lindsey Graham. He wants to go deploy the U.S. military to every sovereign country and invade them just for sport. But maybe Lindsey Graham should realize that the fighting force, the kind of pawns on the chessboard that you like to push around, maybe they don't want to serve the gay flag or the BLM flag. Maybe they wanted to serve the American flag. Look, as you know, our friend Mike Lindell has amazing passion, and especially has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing My Slippers. For a limited time, you'll save $90 on a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last, so order now. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop this. The My Slippers are designed to wear indoors, out all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. Made with quality leather suede. Call 800-875-0425 or click on promo code Kirk or MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use promo code Kirk. This offer will not last long, so order now with promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com. Promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com. With us to help unpack what's happening on the southern border and also recruitment of new people into Border Patrol is the great Chad Wolf. Chad, welcome to the program.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, Charlie.
So, Chad, let me read a headline here, which is just, it's so alarming. When I read this, I said, what? I had to reread it because I, you know, we have all these stories printed out and I was doing so many different things. I said, what on earth? I said, 46 people dead in a Texas tractor trailer. Now, I've been to the border a couple times. I'm far from an expert. I'm a layman on this. 46 people? What the hell is going on the southern border?
Well, it's pretty bad. And this is a particularly bad incident that occurred just outside of San Antonio, where what appears to be a number of illegal aliens who came across that border illegally were in the back of a tractor trailer truck. And obviously the heat in South Texas is pretty unbearable this time of year. And unfortunately, some of those individuals passed away. But I think what it shows you is the incentive factor that this administration's policies along that border have caused, right? Where individuals from all across the world, but particularly in Mexico and Central America and other places, are trying to get to the United States as quickly as they can under a Biden administration policies, because they know if they get here, then they have a very good chance of staying and remaining here in the United States, despite having no legal reason to remain here because of this administration's policy. So I think, unfortunately, you're going to see more and more types of these incidents as we go forward.
Yeah, so here's what, first of all, I just want to reiterate, though, that's a torturous death. It's now 50 plus people.
Yep.
I mean, that's not, you don't die in an instant. I mean, you're gasping for air, heat exhaustion, suffocation. People say it's the worst way to die, just based on kind of analysis of biology, daily highs between 91 and 102. But can you explain to me what the heck is going on here? So they're inside of an 18-wheel tractor trailer abandoned by its driver on the southwest side of San Antonio. So do they cross the border in the trailer? Is that right?
Well, I don't know that we have enough information to really make that determination just yet. I think there's a lot of law enforcement investigative work that's continuing. So you've got to probably have two different scenarios here. One, they came across the border illegally in the back of that tractor trailer truck, and then they are being transported to other parts of the country. It could be there in Texas, but it could also be elsewhere. And obviously they succumb to the heat for a variety of other reasons. Or two, what we also see is these migrants come over in groups, come across the border in the desert and other locations. They then have a smuggler pick them up, and then they come together in large numbers at another predetermined location, and then perhaps got into that tractor-trailer truck, and then to continue their journey elsewhere into the country. So there's a couple of different areas at play here. I think the end result is the same, though, right? They're making this dangerous journey from south of the border, wherever that might be, to get here to the United States, because they know if they get here, they won't be removed, right? We've heard it from the DHS secretary that if you come across that border and your only crime is simply crossing the border illegally, then you're not a priority for removal. We've heard that. You can bet the cartels have heard that, and they are advertising that to folks south of the border.
So let's play cut 46. It's the Biden press secretary saying, the fact of the matter is the border is closed. Play cut 46.
But the fact of the matter is the border is closed, which is in part why you see people trying to make this dangerous journey using smuggling networks.
Is the border closed, Chad?
Well, that comment by the White House press secretary is so asinine. It's hard to actually comprehend. I don't think she has any idea what she's talking about. My guess is she's never been to the border. She doesn't understand it. And simply saying that the border's closed, so therefore people are trying to get in illegally, I don't even understand that. I guess what she's saying is legal ports of entry are closed, so you can't get in the border or into the country legally, so you have to go illegally. Like, her reasoning doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. And I think this is just a larger symptom that if the press secretary of the White House doesn't have any idea what she's talking about, then I think a lot of other people don't have a lot of confidence that other parts of the administration know what they're talking about when it comes to the border. And so to answer your question, absolutely. The border is not closed, it's not secure, and they don't have operational control. Three things that they continue to say that they have. And I think most Americans will look at that border and say, we have 7,000 to 8,000 individuals crossing that border illegally every single day. So every 2 days, you have a 15,000 person caravan approaching that border and crossing illegally. And those are just the folks that we actually apprehend. So in no way is the border closed and secure. And you can only imagine what that does to Border Patrol officers who are trying to man that border. It sends a terrible, terrible message.
And so when I went down to Yuma, I realized that some of these people want to be caught because of the policies that we put forward. You were part of the Trump administration's implementation of the Remain in Mexico policy. Can you talk about that and how the Biden regime basically is perfectly fine with people waltzing across the border? Border Patrol agent after Border Patrol agent that I spoke to, they basically said, look, we're just a paper processing organization. They come to us, you know, we ask if they have papers. They obviously dumped them because there's a dump zone of all their papers. And then they claim asylum. And, you know, unless they're from a specific country we can pinpoint, they basically get released into the interior of the United States. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So I think the asylum process, we talk about asylum, we talk about credible fear, it's all part of the same process. It's hopelessly broken at the moment, and it's being exploited and taken advantage of by the cartels and the smugglers because they coach these migrants on what to say and what to do where they get able to be released here in the United States. Look, we knew that. The Trump administration knows that. The facts bear that out. The Biden administration has the same set of facts, the same set of data, and they don't care. They don't care that it's being exploited and there's fraud in the system. And so what MPP or the Remain in Mexico program was designed was to root out that fraud, to say, look, if you're going to apply for asylum here in the United States, that's fine. But what you don't have a right to is to be let into the interior of the country, never to show up for your court hearing. We think that's wrong. We don't think that that's good policy. And so we're going to change that. So we said, look, You're going to wait in Mexico, and then we're going to parole you back into the United States to go to your court hearings, and you're going to have probably several of them. That's how the system works. And each time you'll go back and forth, back and forth. But look, for those folks that were truly fearing for their lives and wanted that asylum protections that the U.S. could offer, Well, then guess what? They're happy to stay in northern Mexico and wait. Those individuals that knew their asylum claim was bogus, that it was fraudulent, they had no interest in waiting to Mexico because that was not their end goal. And so you saw numbers start to dramatically reduce. And it works. The system and the program can always be improved on. But at the end of the day, it works. And that's what we need to get back to.
So also, I believe that these policies are impacting recruitment of future Border Patrol agents. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think what you see in the last 15 or 16 months now of this administration's policies is you have Border Patrol agents that are just frustrated beyond belief. And you got to think about it. These are folks that live along the border, that live in these border communities, and they've been staring at a crisis in the face now since almost day one of this administration with no end in sight. And all they want is leadership. They want leadership and they want will and a strategy from their political leadership here in D.C. And all they get is the border is closed, the border is secured, and we have operational control. They know that's not right. They know that's false. And what do they ask for? They ask for a border wall system. They ask for a Remain in Mexico program. They ask for asylum cooperative agreements. They ask for all the things that worked, and they're getting none of it. And the very last thing that they have that's keeping that border under control is Title 42. And what do they hear from their political leadership? They want to get rid of Title 42.
That's right.
And so all of this is impacting not only the morale, but the retention, the recruitment. You have Border Patrol officers wanting to retire early, and that's going to impact, you know, the ability to do that job at the end of the day. So, you know, like many other respects across the country, law enforcement is not doing well under the policies of this administration.
So is an impeachment of Mayorkas possible? I mean, it seems as if this is one of the great derelictions of duty I have ever seen in history. It is an intentional an allowance of the invasion of America. And secondly, do we even know how many illegals are coming across every single day?
Well, it's a hard number to pinpoint. What we know is the data that they tell us, right? So it's somewhere between 7,000 and 8,000 a day are coming across that border. Those are just the ones that we apprehend. So you've got to think that there's probably another 1,000 to 2,000 that we never apprehend in a given day that we continue to see time and time and time again. But I think there's an immense amount of frustration with Secretary Mayorkas not being truthful to the American people, not being truthful to members of Congress when he's saying the border is closed and secure. And we know it's anything but that at the end of the day. And I think what the American people and members of Congress want is a strategy to fix this problem. Quit admiring the problem and quit throwing your hands up and saying, well, we can't do anything about it. That's just kind of how it works until Congress changes the law. We showed them that's not the case. We showed them you can do something within the authorities that have been given to you. They just simply don't want to make hard decisions, and they don't want to do their job at the end of the day. And I think it's impacting the vast majority of Americans, not only with the human suffering and toll, but also with the illegal narcotics that are coming across. You know, we're in a, I would say, a fentanyl crisis at the moment.
Yes, we are.
And every community is experiencing that. And guess what? I would say 90% to 95% of the fentanyl is coming across that southern border using the same cartels and the same smugglers and the same traffickers.
That's exactly right. And so, look, I believe the states need to secure the border themselves. I think the federal government is not going to help at all whatsoever. I think the states need to build their own wall, build their own apparatus. They could hire you as a consultant. I think that's what the next governor of Arizona needs to do, is bring in the former DHS squad, the good squad, not the bad squad, you and Homan, and just say, hey, like, what'd you guys do? You know, let's hire you as advisors and consultants. The federal government is a waste of time when it comes to the border. It's all talk, no action. We can impeach them. But what you just articulated to me, a 7,000 to 8,000 people a day, roughly, that is 3 million people a year. I want you to think about what that means population-wise. The population of Nevada, I mean, this is hard to believe, is 3.2 million. The population of Puerto Rico, 3.1 million. Population of Iowa, 3.1 million. What you just said is that we are bringing in an Iowa or a Puerto Rico or a Nevada every single year. The states need to do it themselves. Ignore the federal government. Finance it yourselves. Defy the federal government and secure the southern border. Thank you for your leadership, Chad. Really great talking to you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks. Ghislaine Maxwell. Remember her? She was the lady, the madame, who set up all of Jeffrey Epstein's child sex abuse, child sex trafficking, child rape arrangements. Jeffrey Epstein was probably an intelligence asset. We don't know for what country or for whom. I am not the only one who believes that. In fact, I'm far from the only one. There's been many people that have probed it. For many reasons, he lived at a wealth scale that was disproportionate above his reported disclosed wealth. For example, the planes he flew, the places he had homes in, there's a mystery as to whether or not Jeffrey Epstein even had recordable trades or transactions in some of the places that he said he had had offices in. Very mysterious in more than one way. We don't know the intricate details of it, but if you were a foreign intelligence operation and you wanted to try to get blackmail, wouldn't it make sense, wouldn't it rationally make sense to try to have someone that would try to get people into the snares of most compromised position, particularly with underaged women, videotape them, take photographs of them, and then be able to use those types of circumstances for potential blackmail. Now, this is not a conspiracy theory. We do know a couple things, such as Ghislaine Maxwell's father was very tied in to foreign intelligence. We do know that Ghislaine was someone that grew very close to Jeffrey Epstein. And based on all these charging documents, based on the conviction, I should say, she was found guilty of all of those charges. Most of them, I should say. There's more charges I'm sure they could have brought. So cut 64.
I have spent the last 17 years in my own prison for what she, Jeffrey, and all the co-conspirators did to me. I was raped repeatedly. I was raped 3 times a day sometimes. And I was not the only girl on that island. There was a constant stream of girls being raped over and over and over again. And yes, Ghislaine must die in prison because I've been in hell and back for the last 17 years.
And 27 for me.
I was 10 years old when Liz Stein was being trafficked. I was 10. That is how long the sex trafficking ring has been going on for.
Yeah, so here's just a dumb question because I haven't been following very closely. Why didn't someone ask a follow-up question and say, who else was on the island and who raped you? Maybe that question was asked and maybe it's just a short clip because I've been doing so many other stories, but I'm just kind of somewhat curious. Who else raped you? I'm not doubting. I think she's totally telling the truth, by the way. I just want to know who else was on that island. I mean, there's suspicion that Bill Clinton was on the island, you know, Prince Andrew. Maybe that's been well documented. I don't know. I don't know the details of that case as well as I probably even should. But if someone knows that information, please email me freedom@charliekirk.com. But Ghislaine Maxwell just got 20 years in prison for what? Found guilty of 5 federal sex trafficking charges after a jury concluded she played a pivotal part in recruiting and grooming teenage girls to be sexually abused by Jeffrey Epstein. So we still don't know the full client list. Wouldn't that be a concern of the government? We still don't know the entire client list. Here's a question for you. Why was the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard trial super well covered, but the Ghislaine Maxwell trial wasn't? That's kind of weird, isn't it? Why was the George Floyd trial really well covered and the Ghislaine Maxwell trial wasn't? Well, it's probable, in fact, it's very likely, that Ghislaine Maxwell struck a deal not to talk through the inner workings of the government, got 20 years in prison, and she'll probably get a minimal security prison. She'll probably plea down for that, where nothing she did was violent, blah, 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 blah. And she'll get some form of a suite with internet access and a television. And she was originally supposed to be sentenced to 55, if I'm not mistaken, years in prison, which would have been the rest of her life. She could get out when she's 80 years old. With good behavior, she could serve, I think, 80% of the sentence at federal crimes. U.S. Circuit Judge Allison Nathan has sentenced Maxwell to 19 and a half years, reducing the possible maximum sentence from 55 years. That was the maximum potential sentence. Ghislaine Maxwell knows a lot. And if the government was serious about finding out about a potential foreign intervention intelligence operation, which again is still speculation, I just want to make that very clear, but I believe it. I believe in the speculation. I believe in the conjecture because none of this makes sense unless you were trying to compromise the top levels of American government finance, get them in uncompromising positions. Not exactly unheard of for foreign intelligence agencies to do that. Or at the minimum, they should just be protecting children, let alone uncovering whether or not our country was infiltrated to try to blackmail our own American leaders and presidents, regardless of political party. I guess we'll never know. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.